My desire this morning is to speak to you from the 48th chapter of Genesis. Over the past few weeks, it's been my hope to follow the theme of redemption in Scripture. I believe there are four major themes in Scripture. It is the creation of man, the fall of man, the redemption of man, and the consummation of all things. The first three of those themes are handled in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, and then the theme of redemption is handled throughout the entire Scriptures. And it's so easy for us to look at these stories and basically try to find a moralistic meaning or just a very, this is something you should do to help you live better, moral of the story. But I believe so many of these stories deal specifically with the theme of redemption. And today I want to speak on the adoption of Ephraim and Manasseh. Let's start reading in Genesis chapter 48. There'll be quite a bit of reading in this chapter, but I believe it will be worth it. Genesis chapter 48. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh to thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, 'Behold, I will make thee fruitful and will multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession.'" So what we have is we have Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, and there is a covenant that has been made that he is a direct descendant of. But he has also been given a specific covenant that his family is going to inherit the land of Canaan and that they are going to be the great nation. However, they are now in Egypt. And his son Joseph was the first son of his beloved wife Rachel. And he was taken from him by his mean brothers and sold into slavery. And he has had very little relationship with him up to this time. But now the family is assembled in Egypt. And Jacob is now an exceedingly old man and he is near death. And he is taking this opportunity to seal the covenant that God has made with him to his offspring. And he has... What we have now is we have Joseph, his son, coming and bringing his two sons that were born in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim. Verse 5, "And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." What we have now is we have Jacob calling and saying, "I want your two sons to be adopted into my family. I am not taking them as grandsons. I am taking them as actual sons. I am adopting them into my family." And it says, "just as Reuben and Simeon," those were the first two sons that Jacob had with his wife Leah. And he said, "your two sons are going to be just like those first two sons. They are going to have the same place in my household and in my inheritance as Reuben and Simeon." Now, we often run aground when we talk about adoption. We see adoption in our natural life, and we see some families that have children and then adopt children. And unfortunately, we struggle with that a lot of times, and questions like this will be asked: which of these are your real children, and which of these are your adopted children? That's a horrible question to ask any parent that has adopted, because they are all real children. Amen. They are all in the family. Amen. There is no second-class citizen in adoption. Adoption brings them in, and they are sons, just as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And what Jacob is telling Joseph is that I am not bringing them in as stepchildren. They are mine, just as Reuben and Simeon shall be mine. Verse 6, and thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. If, saying, if you have other children, they're going to be yours, but these boys are now mine. Verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Now, why do you adopt? Why do parents adopt? There's a lot of reasons why people adopt. Some people adopt because they feel that there's a hole in their life that needs to be filled. That is not the reason for proper adoption. The proper reason for adoption is love. And it's fulfilling God's love in through someone else. What he is saying is, who are these boys? He doesn't know them. Jacob isn't adopting these boys because they've just always had a special place in my heart. Ever since they were little, I've loved them, and now I want them to be mine. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, I have a covenant with God, and the covenant with God is that my family will make a great nation, and Canaan is there, and Joseph, your sons are partakers in this. This is something bigger than Ephraim and Manasseh. I don't even know them, but I know who their daddy is, and because of who their daddy is, they are mine, and they have the inheritance. Have you ever wondered why there's not a tribe of Joseph? That's because Joseph's inheritance was given to them. It is because he loved Joseph that he brought them in. There is not a tribe of Levi. There is not a location, a state of Levi. There is not a state of Joseph, because those two were cut out, and Ephraim and Manasseh were brought in as adopted sons, just as Reuben and Simeon are. And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. And he brought him near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out of between his knees and bowed himself to on his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left toward Israel's right, and brought them near. Okay, so what we have here is Manasseh is the oldest, Ephraim is the youngest, and Joseph has ordered them so that when he brings them to his father Jacob, the oldest will be on his right hand, because you have what this is called is the blessing of the right hand. Whomever he lays the right hand on gets the larger blessing, the more meaningful blessing. So Jacob brings them, they're brought to Jacob in a way, so the oldest is on his right and the youngest is on his left. Verse 14. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, the younger. Who was the younger? And his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So what we have now is we have Jacob crossing his hands. He puts his right hand, the hand of blessing, on the younger, and his left hand on the older. And this is opposite. Now remember that Jacob is very, very old now, and he's blind. So what we see here is Joseph starts to get very concerned, because Daddy messed it up. Daddy can't see, and he doesn't understand what I've done. So move down to verse 17. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a great people. And he shall also be great, but truly the younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So, what are we seeing here? What we are seeing are several things. We are seeing the blessing of adoption. We are seeing two people that are brought in, and they are brought in to him, and Jacob has never met him. So he is not calling them in because he has a previous allegiance or alliance. He is blessing them because he has been blessed by God, and he is wishing to transfer that blessing to his son for the honor of his son Joseph. We also see that he has crossed his hands. This is indicating that the mercy of God is not always based on the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man says to put the right hand on the oldest and the left hand on the youngest. Jacob says, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to bless the younger because that is the will of God. So what does this mean for us? This emblem of adoption. So this is a picture, this is a story. And the Apostle Paul handles the doctrine of adoption in numerous places, Ephesians, Galatians, and Romans, just to name a few, very specifically. So how is this a picture of redemption? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So what we see here is very similar to what we see in Genesis chapter 48. We have adoption, and we have adoption coming from Jesus himself before the foundation of the world. Why did God allow Jesus to adopt all these children? Because it was to his glory. It was because of the covenant of salvation. It was because Jesus desired to save them in love. These are all the same things that you see when you see Jacob bringing those two boys and saying, they are going to be mine. They are going to be heirs of promise. Jesus himself made the same commitment before the foundation of the world. He said, there are some that I want to be heirs, and it's for my glory, and God has permitted it because it is to the glory of the Son. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness unto our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There may be some that say, well, I never asked to be adopted. I don't want to be adopted. This was something that happened outside of me. Well, you're right. It did happen outside of you. But I can tell you, if you've been adopted, you're going to love the fact that you were. It says that he has worked within him the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this is a strange rendering here because Abba means Father. So why are we saying Abba, Father? Well, because Abba and Father, though they mean the same thing, they don't mean the same thing. Father is a very classical term for a parent, a male parent. Abba is much more close. It's a relation term. Abba is like the name we would call daddy. When, if you've been adopted, you don't have a heavenly father. You have a daddy father in heaven. You have one that you're close with. You have one that is close to you. This is not a stale environment. So many times we think of salvation, and it's such a concept that is far away from us. We almost see ourselves as having barcodes on our hand and scanning into heaven, because how can anyone know? There's so many. How is this actually going to look? What's it going to be like? And I've heard people say that when I get to heaven, I've done so many bad things, I'm probably just going to have a pup tent. There won't be any mansions left. They'll be for the good folks. And I'm going to be on the back streets in a tent, but that'll hopefully be good enough. Friends, that is a heresy and a lie. For if you are an adopted child, you have an Abba Father. You have a daddy in heaven that loves you so much that a pup tent will not do. Why is there mansions in heaven? Because he loves you enough to prepare a place specifically for you that you can go and inhabit for all of eternity. There is no back seat in heaven. I remember a classic picture that was taken when President Kennedy was in the White House. He was a very formal president. There were strict rules about how you were to operate and conduct yourself in the Oval Office. But there's a picture of his son. While the president is working at his desk, his son is playing underneath the desk. Friends, that's not protocol. The Secretary of Defense didn't get to sit under the desk of the president. The Secretary of State didn't get to come in unannounced, but his son was allowed to play underneath his desk. Why? Because protocols don't matter to heirs. Protocols don't matter to sons. Sons have access to their father, to their daddy, that no one else has, that no one else is permitted. Friends, there is going to be no back streets in heaven where you just have to slink in fear. You have a father that has loved you enough, that has drawn you and has loved you with the same intensity that he has loved Jesus Christ. For it says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That means everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you in equal measure. We are not going to be sitting on the back seat in heaven. There are no back seats in heaven. Friends, here we are at the culmination of Thanksgiving and at the kickoff of the holiday season. It's a time of family. But this is a very difficult time for a big portion of our society. There are people that say, I'm at the age now that all my family's gone. And this is just a hard reminder of what it used to be like. There's others that say, I have family, but every time I'm around them, I'm not like any of them. And it's hard. It's carnal. It's an environment that is very difficult for me to try to navigate every year, and it brings great sadness that I don't have a family that has the closeness that many others do. Friends, if you're in that situation, help yourself remember that this world is not your home. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you were chosen before the foundation of the world. That means that God has been desiring for you to be his child ever since before this world was ever formed. There is a place for you, and it is not on this earth. And remember, be in contact with that. Let that thought be in you that there is a place that I'm going where not only am I going to be a part, I'm going to be a son. I'm going to be a son where there is no protocol and access to the Father. It is a place where I belong, finally. Friends, aren't we looking for a place where we belong? That is where we're going, and we belong because of Jesus Christ and being adopted sons and being called out specifically, not according to nature, not according to who man would pick. Remember, Jacob crossed his hands and picked the one that no one else would have picked. Friends, we were the ones that no one else would pick, but we're loved by a heavenly Father. We're loved by one who is a king, and we are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself, having full access to him and to the Father. May God bless us, and may God bless us to be thankful.
My heavenly